Welcome, everyone. This is Lynn Woodland, and today I'm going to give a bit of an introduction to my year-long online miracles course for those of you who might feel called to this as a path of study or as a way into a path of ministry, because the miracles course ultimately leads to ordination for those who complete it. I'm also going to give a bit of the content of the course. We're going to do a lesson on prayer, and this will conclude with a prayer exercise that you may have a definite healing shift from. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with this program, the Miracles course is a pretty deep dive into personal and spiritual empowerment. It sets a comprehensive new thought study program into a circular format that actually uses the seasons as a template for wholeness. So the content actually mirrors the themes of the seasons we're in. And overall, the course is very practical, very experiential, with weekly exercises and recorded meditations, all designed to produce results so that you see positive life changes. Many students see that happening very quickly once they begin. I want to talk a little bit about the seasons and how the seasons relate to the coursework. That'll make a little bit more sense of why we're talking about prayer in this lesson that actually is from a week in August in the course. We'll start with spring. In the spring, the course addresses topics related to the seasonal themes of new beginnings and the metaphorical work of planting our garden, which is all about bringing our dreams into manifestation. The season's lessons begin with an experiment in miracle making and build a foundation toward the more advanced manifesting work that we do in the summer session. Then the summer curriculum reflects nature's speeded up growing season, beginning with a powerful spiritual exercise, actually a number of exercises for manifesting life goals. And we do a lot of work in the summer with the metaphysical principles of prosperity, with the law of attraction. And later in the season, the lessons match the slowing pace of summer, including themes of gratitude and ease and bliss. And there's something very archetypal and subliminal about the changing balance of light and dark that affects us whether we're fully aware of it or not. The seasons of light, spring and summer, call us to externalize and birth things in the physical realm, while the seasons of darkness, fall and winter, call us to internalize more and release attachment to the material world. The Miracles course is actually a circle that matches these seasonal changes, and it has no beginning, it has no end. And each quarter, there's a potential starting point. Each quarter, we take in new students at the beginning of March, the beginning of June, of December, and of September. I forgot that one. And wherever you begin, you'll be doing the same lessons as everyone in the program. And essentially, each season is a course complete unto itself that explores the archetypal themes of that part of the cyclical world of nature. And the more we pay attention to this ever-changing circle of light and dark, the more it really drives our lives and it begins to work for us. The weekly lessons of the course establish a whole rhythm and expectation for life that draws students along, so they start to notice desired goals developing just very naturally in the growing season of the year, and unwanted burdens dropping away in the fall, just like leaves from the trees. And other focuses of the course, too, seem to just serendipitously appear and resolve whenever their season comes around. And in this way, we stop fighting the flow of life. There's a way that struggle gives way to a more harmonious flow, and transitions become easier. We start to live a more connected and purposeful life. So back to the seasons. In the fall, the Miracles Course curriculum begins with an exploration of physical health and spiritual healing, and the lessons build toward a group experience of spontaneous healing. The material goes into the meaning of symptoms and the spiritual purpose of illness to help you better understand your own dis-ease and be better able to manifest your own healing, as well as be a conduit for healing for others. Also addressed in this season, where darkness is beginning to be on the rise, are topics of death and beyond, of flowing with change and transcending fear, especially that fear of letting go and the fear of losing control. And all of this work really lays a foundation for a spiritual rebirth that happens in the winter, because winter begins with the winter solstice, where light is now on the rise, where even though it's still darker than light, every day is getting a little bit lighter. And even though the season may still be cold and barren, there's a sense of light rising, a sense of hope. And thus this winter season, this rebirth of light, is all about reawakening our sense of wonder and our ability to believe in what we can't yet see. Because it may still be dark and cold, and yet we know spring is coming. We know there will be that rebirth of light and life. So there's a lot of work in the winter that is toward listening to our inner guidance, emphasizing that our inner life, our spiritual aspirations. It's all about the cultivating the inner light. And this season of winter ends in February, which is the month where the world just is full of hearts and flowers, and Valentine's Day. We end the season of winter in February by giving attention to relationships, all kinds of relationships. And there is a ritual to call forth a desired relationship, as well as to transform the quality of existing relationships. And every season lends itself to a certain kind of spiritual work and personal growth. But so often in the rush of modern-day life, we tend to operate in spite of these natural rhythms rather than with them. We tend to light up the darkest times of the year, and when we're out of sync, we're likely to become sick in the fall and winter from our inability to flow with change, and we become depressed in the dark and fail to access the inner light of inspiration. We get seasonal affective disorder instead of feeling reborn. And then we don't have the energy to begin new ventures in spring. And then summer finds us feeling in scarcity and lack rather than in abundance. So there's an easier harmony of life that comes through studying the circle of wholeness that nature provides and starting to attune to that. So I'm going to give you a little taste of the lesson for the week of August. It's a second week in August, because late summer is a time of abundance in the natural world. And in the Miracles Course, it's the end of 6 months of work with manifesting life goals. So this week addresses, among other things, the abundance of God that literally gives us whatever we ask for. Thus, we're giving attention to the art of prayer. And there is a Bible passage, Matthew 7:7, that says, "Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, Knock and the door will be opened to you. And I believe ask and you will receive is spiritual law, not just religious metaphor. And if applied correctly, it works. And now obviously there's a trick to this, because we can all name things we asked for, even pleaded for from God, but never got. And the secret lies in another spiritual law, which we've heard a distortion of in the familiar, it's better to give than receive. But I think it comes through more clearly in the modern day spiritual text, A Course in Miracles, which says giving and receiving are the same. If we combine ask and you will receive with giving and receiving are the same, it means that our prayer request needs to offer up, to give a bit of what we're asking for in order to be truly effective. A powerful prayer is one where we create first within ourselves a bit of the peace or joy, love, surrender, safety, fulfillment, whatever it is we want to grow in our lives. We first create that within ourselves and offer it up to Spirit. Because Spirit gives us what we love, and Spirit gives us what we ask for, and we demonstrate what we love and ask for it in the way we give attention. So if we approach prayer in a state of pleading, please, God, please, we magnify our powerlessness. When our attention is filled with wishing for what we don't have, we only succeed in amplifying scarcity. And when we're focused on our complaints, when we go to God with a grocery list of what's wrong and complaining about it, we increase what's wrong. And when we wallow in resentment and self-pity, we just create more isolation and lack of love. When we dwell on our worries, we feed our fears. And as we give our attention this way, we demonstrate that we love our pain more than peace. So is it any wonder that God answers our prayers by giving us more of the same? Ultimately, if our prayers don't get answered in the way we hoped, we probably need to change the way we're asking. And now there's a lot of evidence that prayer is very, very effective. There's research now documenting that prayer has a definite healing effect. There's research that people who are being prayed for, who don't even know they're being prayed for, heal faster than those who aren't. And yet, there certainly are prayers that don't get answered. So this is what I want to talk about. There's definitely an art to prayer. And if our prayers don't get answered in the way we hoped, a 180-degree turnaround may be needed in order to turn pleading prayers, like, please, God, please save me, into giving prayers. And this means replacing disempowered wishing with gratitude by giving thanks for unanswered prayers as though they've already been fulfilled. It means turning complaining into something more powerfully creative by focusing on what we can do in a situation rather than what's wrong with it. We can also change resentment into forgiveness. And if it's hard to forgive, always start with yourself. If it's still difficult to forgive, ask yourself often, would you rather have God answer your prayers by proving you right or by making you happy? In other words, if we're attached to being right about how we've been harmed, God may be answering our prayers because we've demonstrated that being right is more valuable to us than being happy, simply by giving it more attention. When we find our mind crowded with worries, this is the time for faith. we can always reach up to a higher power. Even when personal power may not be enough to get us through, divine power always is. And also, I always recommend not asking for spiritual assistance only for the big things. You know, when you've completely run out of steam, it's so often that we don't even think of turning to God until we've used up all of our other resources. God is not put out by our frequent requests. God is our higher power. So why save our most efficient and true power source for only the most minimal use? Start asking God to help you find your lost keys or a good parking place. You know, start asking God for anything you need. A woman in my group once, years ago, seemed a little astonished at her own experience. She shared that after hearing me suggest asking God for a parking place, she did it. And it worked the first time, and it's worked every time since. And she had a work situation where every day she had to be looking for a hard-to-find parking place. And maybe before we get into the actual prayer part, I'll talk a little bit about who we pray to. Because though the language of asking God may seem to portray God as something or someone very personal, the way we conceive of the vast and limitless mystery of spirit might be different for each of us. For some, imagining a personal and benevolent, loving God looking out for us might really provide comfort and heal wounds of isolation. For others, the idea of a personalized God may only affirm our separateness from God and our lack of personal responsibility and ultimately be disempowering. And still others of us may have so many negative associations to the whole notion of God that a radically different concept is a lot more appealing. And some New Thought spiritual paths even feel it to be counterproductive to acknowledge through language or practice any duality at all between self and God. So I really encourage you to see what feels best to you in terms of both the concept and the language you give to God. Higher power, higher self, the light, spirit, creator, Jesus Christ, goddess, angels, divine love are just a few ways I've heard people address God. So really find the way in to spirit that's right for you. And in terms of the form and language of prayer, you know, many people find that they have to let go of the recited prayers they learned as children in order to approach prayer in a fresh, meaningful way. While others find the traditional prayers comforting, these recited words, they can either become hollow and you just need to discard them, or they can be like a well-worn path, you know, that's been traveled so often through repetition by you and others that they just become a quick route into a prayerful state. For example, even though I wasn't raised Catholic, I find this to be true for me with the Hail Mary prayer, though I remove the word sinners from my recitation. I find that it just has a very soothing effect on me. Ultimately, prayer is a conversation and a communion with God. So use whatever words or lack of words that assist you in this. Your prayers might be long conversations or as simple as thank you, God. Or they might use no words at all, just being pure feelings or sounds or chanting or drumming or other forms of music. And even the whole notion of asking God is deceptive. You know, just as the seemingly clear concepts of giving and receiving eventually blur into the experience of unconditional love as we look more deeply into them, so the act of asking, when it's infused with spirit, morphs into being rather than doing, where we become the inner peace of our prayer already fulfilled. This state of being becomes a creative act of consciousness that acknowledges a spiritual reality that all we need is here now, and thus draws to us the fulfillment of this in the physical world. So that gives your mind a little bit to chew on, and I think now we're going to go into something that is a bit more experiential and operating more in the spiritual realm. So take a moment just to quiet your mind and relax your body. Take a couple of deep, slow breaths. And reflect on what your prayer request is. What is it that you most want to ask of God? This could be a desire for healing, for guidance, for resolving an issue in your life, or anything for which you'd like God's help. Just see what feels important to you right now. And relax. Breathe. As you relax fully, your mind becomes still. Just simply be in the presence of God in whatever way is meaningful to you. And softly let your awareness expand to include your higher self. That is, the part of you that's something so much greater than your body, your thoughts, your personal experiences, your history. This is the God self of you, the radiant being of light that is limitless, that's always whole, that's always perfect, that is undisturbed by the ripples and issues of human experience. This is your true self. And imagine the higher selves of everyone else listening in to this conference, now joining you. And we've all gathered beyond the illusionary limits of space and time, because physics is showing us that time and space are not neutral and fixed as we once thought. We've all gathered outside the limitations of space, time, to assist in each other's healing. And together we form a powerful circle for spiritual work. Feel how much more powerful we are together. Even if you don't believe it, use your imagination to imagine this true. Because imagination will take us places we've never been in life. And once we're there, we can make it true. Reality reflects where we hold our attention. And our joined intentions now for healing and good quicken our growth so that what has seemed difficult in the past will come more easily now. So just take a moment to feel the energy of this healing circle growing. And imagine us surrounded and immersed in the presence of God. Some of you may see angelic beings, beings of light. You may see specific religious figures. Or envision this in a more abstract way, simply as the light of divine love and higher mind. Imagine this presence to be completely benevolent, devoid of any judgment or punishment, and highly responsive to our desires for assistance. This spiritual presence is always with us, though we aren't always open to it. It's there guiding us, loving us, and taking great joy in our many experiences of earthly life. It doesn't see us in terms of successes and failures. Instead, it sees us deepening through our human experience, becoming richer and more complex as souls. Surrounded by the perfect peace of this loving presence, bring your prayer intention now gently to mind. Hold it lightly in your thoughts, like you would a butterfly, not clutching, not grasping. And look deeply into your request to discern what's at the heart of it. What is it that you're truly calling out for in your request to God? Is it joy? Is it freedom? Is it healing? Is it ease, love, security, inspiration, forgiveness, peace, creativity, or does it wear yet another name? And as you identify this true request, find a bit of that joy and wholeness you want already living inside of you, and grow it bigger so that you fill yourself with the inner experience of having your request already fulfilled. Becoming the fulfillment you desire is how God hears your request. Let the energy of fulfillment flow into gratitude and ripple outward as a gift back to Spirit. Because this vibration of gratitude creates the inner state of willingness and availability. It gives God an open door and permission to speed up your transformation and healing. So take this moment to truly feel your burdens and worries lifted from your shoulders. Hand it all over. Let your heart simply feel light and overflowing with love. And know that the benevolent presence of God is now working with you on many levels, mostly outside of your awareness, to assist your growth. And now let go of your request. Let it go. Trust that what you have asked for, or something better, is already beginning to unfold. And let your attention shift a bit now, because we are going to offer prayer on behalf of others. So begin by bringing to mind our circle of listeners. Picture the higher selves of all of us who are part of this conference, even though we are in different places and in different times. Imagine in the spiritual realm all those barriers fall away and we are joined in one circle. So picture all of them, all of us. And then add to this circle any individuals in your life whom you would like to hold in prayer, who you would like to receive, to see receive the benefit of healing prayer. And finally, bring to mind the whole world, letting your mind touch lightly upon areas and issues in need of healing. Always hold these diseased issues, areas, people lightly in peace and not darkly in despair. And now, with all of this softly in mind, listen to the following healing decree and feel the words with me as I say them. Because here is our prayer. Let our hearts and minds now unite with all others in service to divine will, making us an unstoppable force as we decree. By the grace of God, divine love now heals and guides all those in this circle who have prayed for help. by the grace of God, divine love now heals and guides every member of our personal communities. By the grace of God, divine love now heals and guides all life on earth. Thank you, Divine Spirit. We have faith in the reality of miracles. We believe in the power of love. We surrender to divine will. Let the divine design now manifest. And let our prayer experience end by vibrating the feeling of gratitude to all those in this circle, to all of our spiritual unseen helpers, to God, Goddess, all that is, Creator, Spirit. Give thanks for prayers as though they are already fulfilled, and know in the spiritual realm they already are. And now, in letting go of the prayer, it's important to go about our day feeling the presence of God with us, feeling the burden of unresolved issues lifted. Practicing gratitude keeps the prayer alive. And notice all the blessings and signs of success that come your way. Let go of expectations, because God answers our prayers in the best way, not just the best way we can imagine. So sometimes we need to let go of our attachment to specific outcomes. Sometimes it even looks like our life is falling apart a bit, and that's part of our prayer request being answered, because sometimes the old structures, the old forms need to be cleared away in order for God to truly respond to our request in the highest possible way. So I do want to hear your stories. So please email me on my website and let me know of your healing experiences and your comments and your thoughts. And for those of you who might be called to the Miracles Course as your own program of study, this is a little taste of it. Just the tiniest little taste. As I said, the course works with a circular format, a lesson a week. Students receive a lesson a week for a whole year, and entry times for new students fall near the beginnings of each season, the first Monday of March and of June, of September and of December. The course also provides an opportunity to connect with like-minded others online for discussion, for networking, for spiritual work. The group work online is built into the curriculum to really make use of the synergy and the wisdom available in a group setting. We create more of a virtual group. There's also faculty oversight of your process. Along with each lesson for personal study, there is a revised version that is adapted for group work. So this additional material includes handouts, some exercises that aren't included in the regular lessons, and guided meditations that are revised for group work, as well as facilitation tips. So this allows you to actually start your own study group using the Miracles Course, or just even to informally invite some friends to gather and do the lessons together. Expanding the traditional concept of ministry, these group sessions really are to encourage spiritual community and provide an easy vehicle for professional counselors who might want to use this in your groups at work, for teachers, as well as for lay people to present the material to groups. And it's really very well suited for a wide range of study study groups, for therapy groups, for self-help groups, recovery groups that emphasize personal growth and or non-religious spirituality. And the Miracles course, it really isn't an academic course. It's totally a transformational one. It's designed to change you, to improve the quality of your life, to help you manifest specific goals and your highest purpose. It includes information and methodologies and exercises that really help you apply spiritual principles in a wide variety of practical life contexts, you know, ranging from the very mundane, such as how to break an unproductive habit or how to handle money in an empowered way, to spiritualize money, to the interpersonal, such as how to attract the right people and to relate more effectively, to the to the metaphysical, such as spiritual healing and manifesting through intention and claiming spiritual power. It also includes a lot of questions and exercises to enhance personal insight and self-awareness. And it includes a lot of spiritual work, like what we've done here today. The group energy established through the guided meditations really creates a powerful virtual group for spiritual work that allows shifts and growth of all sorts to happen at an accelerated rate. And the whole of it becomes really an archetypal journey. The totality of the course touches upon many archetypal experiences of wholeness, ultimately evoking a subconscious participation in a hero's journey of transfiguration. So even when you don't give full attention to every exercise, your subconscious mind is drawn in nonetheless to a growth process, and you're likely to see the events of your life reflecting this in significant changes, in opportunities showing up, in healing that happens very serendipitously and echoes the themes of your coursework. In terms of how much time it takes, this is a question I get often, and the course is packed with materials and exercises, and ultimately it'll take whatever time you give it. You know, truly it's more of a course for life than a year-long educational program. And the sooner you begin even devoting small amounts of time, the sooner you'll start to see it transforming your life. And we encourage, in fact, students to take as much time as you need and even to repeat the course. And even if you don't get all of every course, there are a lot of themes that repeat. A concept you rush through in one season due to having a busy life, you'll encounter again in a whole different way in another season. So I hope this has been helpful, and I'm sure that you'll be seeing some effects of the spiritual work we've done here. Do let me know, and please do email me with any questions you have, any thoughts you have, comments, and any stories of healing, because we have set in motion some powerful healing work today. So thank you all so much for listening in, and take care. Happy healing. God bless you all.